Purify my heart. Cleanse me from my sin. And make me holy. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from my sin. Deep within, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire.
Yes, Lord.
To be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, ready to do your will.
Amen. So, Lord, let your fire fall, consume our hearts, Lord God, overcome our weakness, Lord, that we can stand up and fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Jesus, we want to run this race, Lord. Hallelujah. And we can't do it without fuel. So, God, we just thank you that you make available to us everything we have need of that pertains to life and godliness. Hallelujah. Even as we're coming to a knowledge of you. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. How great is your love? It reaches to the heavens. How great is the heart that sought and rescued me? Hallelujah. For the Son of Man came to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, when God stirs your heart, He awakens your heart. Amen. Often He will give you a word to share. And there's a proper time and place, amen, for that. And we want to learn how to do that properly, right? Being in timing with the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to walk in step with the Spirit. Amen. We have things we want to do for God, but we need to learn how to do life with God. That's what He wants for us, life with Him. And if we walk with Him, we'll bear fruit. And only as we walk with Him will we bear fruit, the kind of fruit that's acceptable to Him. You know, God wants to take us further than we want to take ourselves sometimes, or where we think we need to be. If we are honest about it, we can all see a gap between where we are and where we believe God wants us to be. And, you know, the ability to see that is a good thing. Amen. Because what the enemy wants to do is to get you to settle down in complacency. Amen. And shut down. God wants to stretch and grow and, amen, and take us from glory to glory. And so God has to have our heart. That means if He has our heart, He has all of us. He has our body, amen, our mind, everything. And so God is after our hearts. And so He, if you will, he lovingly allures us with His goodness. You know, the goodness of God leads to repentance. And when we realize what Jesus did for us at the cross, the price He paid for us, the undeserving, amen? We need to see the love that God has for us. And God's plan for us is superior to our own plan. But God's wanting our heart, and that means that we have to be willing to open up and completely surrender the most vulnerable part of us to Him, because He can be trusted with our heart. You can't trust a lot of people, amen, but you can trust the Lord.
Amen.
He's not going to hurt you, amen?
Amen.
And so we learn how to be shut down in this world, amen, because we've been violated in so many different ways. Over time, we can learn how to build up a callus in our hearts, you know. God wants to break through that. And we do need to guard our hearts, amen, with all diligence. That means that you just don't trust everybody. Amen. But we do need to understand that God can be trusted. And He wants us to know that. And if you would really give Him the whole offering, even as we worship, you know, that we would just like abandon self, you know, self-consciousness, and get focused on Him and be willing to open the door wide so He has access, because He doesn't kick the door down, as you know, but God knocks. Jesus said, I stand at the door and what? Knock. So we are the doorkeepers, all right? And the enemy wants to rob you of what God has for you. And what God has for you is better than what you think you want for you. Amen. So we want to open our hearts and really give Him the whole offering so that He has a vessel, amen, that He can entrust with the greater riches of His presence and use us for His glory in this world. I like being a vessel for the Lord. Amen. He deserves it. It's our reasonable service to give Him our bodies. If He has our bodies, He has our heart. Amen. He has all of us. Amen. So if you're in Christ today, you no longer belong to yourself. Amen. But you need to open your heart for a greater intimacy with the Lord so that He can come in and He can sweep out the house. Amen. He can clean the house and then fill the house with His holy presence. And that means vulnerability, being vulnerable with God. He sees it already. How many know there's no secrets with God? He knows who you are. He knows where you really live in your secret heart. Maybe not the outward image, but who you really are. So it's good just to come clean and say, God, You see it all. You know it all. You know all the mess. Amen. And I can't save me. I really can't fix me very good. But God can. He transform you. Transform your heart. But you got to be willing to just let it go. Let self go. Trust Him. Make yourself vulnerable. Open your heart and let Him fill you, amen, with His presence. Hallelujah. And the light will come on and you'll begin to desire things that He desires. You begin to love things that He loves. You will want to do the things that you know please God because His presence is in you, amen. His love is shed abroad in your heart. He motivates us to love and to good works. So we've got to be a vulnerable people before the Lord, understanding He already knows it. But the door can be shut to Him. So do yourself a favor. Open the door and let Him in. Open it wide. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying this morning very much. Are you having fun?
Yes.
It's joy, isn't it?
Yes.
In His presence is fullness of joy. Amen. You'll never regret giving God the whole thing. See, sometimes we want to hold on to stuff, you know. Sometimes we want to hold on to, offenses, things that people have done to us. We don't want to let them go because, you know what they did. You know, but as long as you're holding on to those things, amen, you're blocking access for the Holy Spirit, amen? So He wants you to come clean about those things. Let those people go that have offended you, that have hurt you, amen? Make a deliberate choice to obey God in this and forgive people. And as you let them go, that means cancel the debt. I'm not going to hold it against you. It doesn't mean that what they did was right. They may have done you a wrong, but how many of us here have done God a wrong?
Amen.
Amen. In His mercy, He forgave us. So now He expects us to do likewise. And as we forgive and we release people, we open the door and the way for God to completely fill our hearts. Amen. And we can experience the joy and the peace. Many people, even Christians, don't walk in peace because of offense, because they're holding on to things. Are you hearing me? You don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. Yo, they didn't even shake my hand. And sometimes it's just petty stuff, but the enemy's looking for a way to interfere with God's plan for your life, because he's a thief. So just come clean. Amen. God sees it. Renounce those things. Confess it before God. Amen. It's time to move on. It's time to get out of the past. Amen. And to walk in the moment with Jesus today is a new day. Title of the message this morning is Don't Settle for Less Than God's Best. Don't settle for less than God's best. You know, we are a pilgrim people. We're passing through this present world. This world is not our eternal home. God has promised us something better. Amen? However, if we're not careful, we can settle for a walk with the Lord that is far below what he makes available to us. This is something that I always think about. As, am I living up to everything God expects of me and everything is, God has made available to me? Or am I living below that? See, God wants us to grow up into that. Amen. To that place where we're being everything he's called us to be in him. Right? Because, again, we can live far below God's expectation and God's plan. Because it is a choice that we make. Whether or not we're going to allow God to have the full offering. To have all of us. To have our hearts. 2 Peter 1:10 says, therefore, brethren, be even more slothful. Oh, wait a minute. It says, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Your calling and election. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our election took place before the world was formed. And we only became aware of it at the moment of conversion. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, just as he chose us, God chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in what? Love. Now the Holy Spirit reveals to us that we are called and that we are chosen. Often you hear people say and speakers say and evangelists say, you know, the Lord has a calling on your life. Well, that's generic, amen, because the truth is if you're in Christ, everyone has a calling on their life. Amen, so you can't miss with that one, amen. But you need to understand what that call is. Amen. God doesn't just call you, amen, and leave you there. He wants you to discover that call, and he wants you to run this race with him so that you'll finish well and with joy and receive the victor's crown at the end. And you hear the commendation of the Lord where he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Romans 8:30 says, moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So God, by his foreknowledge, this is what we need to understand, predestined us to become like Jesus. And that means to be godly, Christ-like, God-like. We're not taking Jesus' place. We're not becoming Jesus. Amen. But we want to be like Jesus. Amen. So I want to be like him when I grow up. Amen. Anybody else beside me still growing up? Become more and more like Jesus. Amen. But we should be growing. Because as you know, as long as a tree is growing, it's alive. Amen. But it'll start to wilt if it's no longer growing. Amen. If there's a lack of water and of nutrients to that tree, it can eventually die and wither. Amen. So our responsibility is to come to him for everything that we have need of. Amen. So that we can flourish for the Lord and bear good fruit. Because apart from Him, we can do. Amen. So God predestined us, it says in Romans 8:29, for whom He foreknew. Amen. He's already in the future. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That was Jesus, the firstborn from what? The dead. The first resurrection. Hallelujah. Bodily. Hallelujah. So we confirm our calling as we continue to grow in the Lord. How do you confirm it? As you grow and bear fruit, there will be the confirmation that you are bearing, amen, the fruit of Him who has called you to a partnership with Him in this world. So a desire even to live a holy life is one proof of our salvation. When we're in the world, when we're not in Christ, we don't care about being holy. Amen? Don't even know what it is. Yeah. So God wants you and I as His people, as His representatives, to avoid anything that would defile us. And that is willful sin. Because willful sin can lead to disgrace. And even a possible disqualification for His service. I have known people, maybe you have too, who began well, but they became shipwrecked in their faith. They're no longer walking with the Lord. And there are times, yes, God is merciful. God will forgive. Amen. All manner of sin and blasphemy against, amen, except the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is another topic for another day. But He will forgive every sin. Amen. If we choose to sin, amen, He will forgive that. But understand this, there are things and choices that we do, that we make, amen, that have consequences. So you can choose to do what you want, all right? But understand this, there are consequences for disregarding the voice of the Lord and doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. And there are people I know that have made decisions that were contrary to the will of God that they're going to have to live with the rest of their lives because they didn't listen when God was trying to get their attention. They were doing very well in their walk, but they decided to take a detour. They had eyes to go back to Egypt, if you will. And now they have to live the rest of their lives with the regret that I didn't listen to the instruction of the Lord when He was trying to get my attention. How many would agree with me it's wise to obey the voice of God? It's wise to listen to His Word? Because if we continue to walk in the Holy Spirit every day, walk in fellowship with the Lord every day, we'll never be disqualified for His service. You see, the enemy wants to get us into a place where we can't be of any use. He wants to bring us to a place of disuse. You can't serve two masters. You have to make up your mind. Who are you going to serve? It's so important that we remain transparent, that we forsake all role playing. Come on. All facades. Can't fake it till you make it. Amen? God, you see it. You know it. You know? And a lot of times you think you're hiding it, but other people see it too. Amen. People knew where you once walked, and now they're looking at you now and say, what happened to Joe over there? Hope you're not here today, Joe. But you can drift away from your steadfastness in the Lord, and you can find yourself in the weeds and eventually shipwrecked. If you don't repent and turn back to God, you can miss out on the opportunities that God has given you, amen, to live your life with purpose, amen, with an eternal reward that can never fade or perish. See, we have the option to choose who we will serve. But as for me and my house, so the apostle prayed this for the church in Colossians 1:10, says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What was the attitude of the apostle Paul here in Philippians 3:14? How many know this one? I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. And then he said in verse 15, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. Now look what he said in verse 16. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. You can lose your reward. You can lose your reward. Hold on to the progress you've already made. It's no time to be asleep. Would you agree? The devil's a thief. Now Jesus said this to the church of Philadelphia. This is a second witness, Revelation 3:11. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. There is a victor's crown for every child of God who overcomes the world. And the King James says, see that no man take your crown. Now, Jesus said it's possible through negligence and unfaithfulness for a believer to lose that eternal reward, that eternal glory, which they might have obtained in their lifetime. You all know what I'm talking about. We're looking at how quickly the days are going by. We have to redeem the time. The days are evil, but God has called us to be light and men to be salt in this world, to be influencers in this world. And we only have so much time, amen, before we take our last breath. And we can say, amen, that's a good message. I agree with that message. But the key is here, am I willing to really obey the message and submit myself to God and come on and get back to where I once walked? See that no man take your crown. Paul told Timothy, he said this, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy, and with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. In other words, you can have a gift, but do nothing with it. You can neglect the gift of God that's in you. It's not enough just to have a gift. Amen. It's not for display only. Amen. It's to be used. You don't put it behind a glass, you know, display case. Say, isn't that a lovely gift? No, we want to use it. We want to be fruitful. We want to be productive. Amen? Amen? So he says, hold fast what you have. In other words, stay true to your calling. God has called you to do and the time frame he's given you. Don't give any ground to the devil. Hold on to your reliance on God. This is precious right here. Hold on to your reliance on God. It's not weakness, but it's true wisdom. It is the way to strength in the Lord. I got this. I can handle this. I don't need his help. Well, you only think you got it. You're deceiving yourself. You got to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Relying on God is important. Why? Because he is the strength of our life. And we don't have the grace, amen, that will sustain us within ourselves. It is by the grace of God we are who we are, and we can do what we're called to do as we rely upon the Holy Spirit. He gives us the ability to do what we can't naturally do because, amen, only he can truly glorify the Lord. We just cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So we need to guard against unbelief. Again, Revelation 3:11, hold fast what you have already. In other words, if you made progress in your walk, be careful that you don't look back. Be careful that you don't allow yourself to drift too far. Amen. Don't dabble with the devil. Don't play with fire because as the saying goes, what you will be burnt. You may not get burned right away. I got away with that. Guess what? The enemy's just baiting you because he wants to get you hook, line, and sinker. He wants to draw you in deeper because he wants to steal your joy. He wants to put you under depression, oppression, and rob you, amen, of what God has for you. But we need to guard against unbelief. It's really our biggest battle. And anyone that would lead us away from our steadfastness in the Lord, we need to guard against unbelief and anyone who would lead us away from our steadfastness in the Lord. 2 John 1:8 says, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things that we what? Worked for. You began well, but you didn't finish. But that we may receive a what? Full reward. There's going to be an award ceremony someday. Amen? So never settle for less than all God has for you. You know, many times I think we are. No, I'm good. I've accomplished enough. I've done enough in life. I'm just going to put a comma in it right here. I'm going to sit, soak, and sour. No, I don't want to sour, amen? I want to remain vibrant. I want to remain alive. I want to be bearing fruit, even into old age. Older age. And listen, we can only move forward when we come to the place where we are tired of being where we've been. Are you sick and tired of just being in the same spot? It's just kind of going through the motions. You know, you hear the gerbil wheel. No, I want to move forward. How about you? I want to move on. I want to press on. Paul said, press on into your call. You have to be diligent to make your calling and the election sure. It's your responsibility. God's not going to do it for you. He says, come to me, seek my face. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and the door will be opened unto you. Amen. That's our responsibility. We draw near to God and He draws near to us. Well, some people are sitting around for something to happen, and maybe for years. Well, one of these days an angel is going to appear to me and he's going to tell me everything I need to know. No, God says, seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Our biggest enemy is not the devil. We're always talking to the devil. Look what the devil's doing. The biggest enemy is not the devil, but it's unbelief. Yeah. Again, we're not going to move forward until we're done with being where we've been. Amen. I don't want to sit here and die. Amen. I'm going to pursue Him who is life. Amen. I'm not going to just seek to do things for God. I'm going to seek His face, His presence. Amen. And God will work in me. He will give me holy passion, holy desire. Amen. To do what pleases Him. Amen. I don't have to work it up. God will do it. I just need to seek Him. Amen. I need to call on Him. I need to press into Him. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just need to shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Amen. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
And you need to break out of that shell. Amen. God didn't call us to be turtles, to stick our head inside the shell. Amen. Once you've been hatched, as Evie Hill said years ago, you've been hatched. You can't go back into the egg. Amen. You've been hatched. How many remember Evie Hill back in the day? Hallelujah. Jesus has overcome the devil. We need to believe that. Again, He's not our biggest enemy. It's our own unbelief. It's when we don't believe what God has said, that God will do what He said He would do, that God will confirm His word. If it's His word, He will confirm it. Only believe and you will see the glory of the Lord. Believe Him. What He says is always true. You can trust Him. No, you can't trust people, amen, all the time, but you can trust the Lord for sure.
Amen.
And the first thing, again, we need to do is we need to give Him access to our lives, amen? And lay it down and surrender and give Him the whole offering and let God fill us and flood us with His holy presence. And then He'll begin to work in us, amen, both to will and to do.
Amen.
You'll just desire certain things that naturally you may never desire, but you want to do it because you love the Lord. Do you believe the power of sin is broken in your life?
Amen.
Unbelief keeps us bound by sin. Come on. Belief says, I'm free in Jesus' name. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I've been set free by the power of God. The blood of Jesus Christ has availed in my life. Amen. Now I can live my life for God. Amen. And I don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. I can say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, there's life and peace. God's will is superior than our will. You know, unbelief is really rooted in that part of us that wants to be independent of God. Because what God calls us to is beyond where we can take ourselves. Hopelessness is unbelief. Hopelessness is unbelief. The people in Jeremiah's day did not believe God would turn their situation around. So what do? They turned away. They backslid. It's hopeless, they said. Jeremiah 18:11, now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. He's going to punish them. Return now, everyone, from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. In verse 12, and they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. Complacency is a form of unbelief. Zephaniah 1:12, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. God was going to punish the complacent in the land because they did not receive his word. And in essence, what the people were saying is God doesn't mean what he says. They didn't believe God would or could turn things around. Do you understand whenever you're faced with a trial, a situation in your life, that's your time to shine. It's your time to say, I'm going to believe God. I'm not going to believe what I see or what I hear. I'm going to believe God, who is bigger than that thing. Instead of many people, they get mad at God. And they walk away. And God is trying to advance them and promote them, amen, by giving them a test. How many know a test precedes promotion? And the enemy wants to get in there and say, see, it's good because God's not good. God's not fair. Huh? He lies. If God allows a test, it's for our good. He wants to do us better in the end. You understand? Amen? So God can only take us forward when we come to the place where we're tired of being where we've been and done living like we've been living. And guys, I know what it's like. I live this life too with you. We're doing this life together, amen. We experience different trials and temptations and things that happen that we had no control over, amen. But it's not so much about what happens to me as my response to what happens to me. What am I going to do? No, what are we going to do, Lord? See, they didn't believe God would turn things around. Complacency will prevent us from receiving from God. How many know this one? Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. Right? For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? There it is. Diligence. Diligently what? Seek him. Well, if God wants to do it, he's just going to do it. No. God's saying, I'm looking for someone who will partner with me. Amen. Who will spend time with me so I can reveal my heart to them and I can impart to them the grace they need to do my will in their lives. But he's not going to force that on you. And I know there's nobody in this room that when you see Jesus, you're not going to want to be living in a time of regret and saying, I could have, would have, should have, but didn't when I had the opportunity, when God was calling me, amen, and I refused to listen to his voice. How many know you can't go back and redeem yesterday even? The days have gone. The years have gone by. But you can make a course correction today. You can repent today and say, you know what? From here on forward, I'm going to live my life for Jesus. I'm committing my life to him. And I'm going to be diligent to seek him. I'm going to tell this body to pray. Amen. To read the word. Tell this body to get up and go to church. Be with God's people. Amen. I'm going to worship the Lord. You are in charge of your life. God's not going to do it for you. He gave you charge, and you have to be willing to submit your will to his will. And again, once you're under his will, you will have the power and the authority to accomplish his will. But apart from him, we can't do it. And you're not even going to want to do it apart from him. Because that other part of you, that rebellious part of you, wants to live independent. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, guess what? The day is coming when every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. I bow now. How about you? We bow now. Hallelujah. You know what hope is? Hope is the fruit of trusting God. Romans 15:13, and may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Isn't it awesome when we worship and we get into that river of his presence together? And man, life is good in the God zone. Amen? And it's, man, you know what? You don't have to wait till Sunday morning. You can spend as much time with Jesus as you want. And you can have as much of Jesus as you want. But if you don't want him, then guess what? You're not going to get it. If you don't seek, guess what? You're not going to find. If you're not willing to go the extra mile, amen, you're not going to knock. And the door's not going to be open to you. And you can live your life in a parched land, a dry, desolate, anemic Christianity. Or you can flourish in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And bear the fruit that glorifies God and find such joy and peace in his presence that the world could never compare to that. Don't waste your time on this world. Amen. It's not going to satisfy you. How many discovered that already? Everything is temporary. It's fleeting. Amen. You get the stuff and then you want more stuff because the old stuff now doesn't satisfy me anymore. One day, everything is going to be gone. All the stuff. You know, Heisuk and I were even talking about pictures, how precious pictures are, family memories, you know. I mean, everybody said, if I had to get out of a fire, I want to get those pictures, amen, and the paperwork. Those two probably the most important things for most people, right? Not your 56-inch television or whatever it is. But those are things that, you know, most people would really value because, you know, the pictures are something that captured moments in your lifetime, right? But, you know, we were just talking about that. Even the pictures, right? It's just stuff. It's going to be gone, too. Come on. It's not like somebody's going to go to the Goodwill and say, oh, I want that picture right there. I don't know who they are, but I really like that picture. You know where I'm going. What are we living for? We got a reason to live and we got a reason to die. Hallelujah. We can live for him. If we live, it's to live for Christ. And then to die is gain. No matter what, we live unto him and may die unto him. Hallelujah. God wants to break his church out of complacency. Because it will prevent us from receiving what we need to move forward. But we need to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to say this because sometimes we put too much confidence in people. And God gave us each other, amen, as a gift. Amen? Yeah. But our confidence is not to be in people, but in God who is always faithful. Some people's faith is dependent on the faith of others. I'll say it again. Some people's faith is dependent on the faith of others. So if their spouse or friends or loved ones or even their pastor falls away, they do too. They do also. Why? Because they had their faith in the wrong place. If you have a relationship with Jesus, it doesn't matter what people are doing around you. 1,000 may fall, amen, to your side. 10,000, right? At your left or right? But if you have a foundation and a relationship with the Lord, amen, you know it's going to be well with your soul, amen? Though none go with me, still I will follow. There's no turning back. There's nothing to go back to anyways. God wants to stir and awaken your heart, but it has to be by His Spirit. And you have to be an open book. You have to let God have the whole thing. Amen. Give Him access. Amen. And let Him fill you with His holy passion, His holy desire to inspire your zeal again. Bring you back to that first love buzz again. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." So listen, we are to follow the good example of others, right? We should. We should be. Every one of us should be an example for somebody else without putting our faith in them to carry us through to victory. And sometimes our ego says, I like people depending on me and looking up to me and relying on me. Come on. No. But that's the part of us that has to die, amen? That ego. Because it's not about exalting the self. It's about denying the self and exalting Jesus. Amen? We don't want to point people to us. We want to point people to Jesus. So we don't want to create codependence, if you will. You know, where you're dependent on me, you know, to survive your spiritual walk. Now, there's times when I'll say, amen, would you pray for me? And that's okay. Amen. But it's time for us to grow up. Amen. And say, you know what? I need to have my own relationship, my own walk. I need to know my God. I need to know His Word. Amen. I need to know how to use the sword of the Spirit effectively. I need to know how to do battle. I need to know how to heal the sick and cast out demons and raise the dead and do all the things that Jesus did. Amen. And that ain't going to happen unless I allow God to have access to me and to fill me with the power of His Holy Spirit so that I'll overcome my personal weakness and He becomes strong in me and I become strong in Him. That's where our focus has got to be. We are lovers of His presence. More Lord. Somebody say more Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. When we believe, we'll keep asking. Jesus said that, didn't He? Matthew 7:7. I mean, know this, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Amen. So when we keep believing, amen, we'll keep asking. We'll keep seeking. Why? Because we know God is faithful. And we know God hears us. And we know it's just a matter of time. It's His time. And it's His way. But we don't give up. We don't quit. Well, I asked. I went through the drive-thru window, prayer window. I placed my order and it didn't instantly appear. So apparently it's not God's will for me. I'll just have to sit here and soak and sour. We are trusting God when we take Him at His word. You know, really complacency. And guys, I tell you, it's something we have to battle against. all of us, and unfaithfulness is a sign we've drifted away from the Lord. It's a sign you've drifted. Why? He's a life-giving spirit. He's an all-consuming fire. When you're on fire for God, you're burning for God, you're passionate for God, you're compassionate for people. Amen. You desire the things that Jesus desires. You want to see people saved and healed and delivered when you're burning for Jesus. Amen. And if that heart's not in us, then we need to find out, well, what's clogging me up here? Where are the idols at? Amen. There needs to be a house cleaning, apparently, because I need to be filled again, a fresh anointing, amen, from heaven. I just need to yield to the Holy Spirit again and get back to that place. There's a song years ago we did, Lord, take me back. To that old landmark where I make a new commitment and begin a fresh start. Help me find my direction. Put a burden in my heart. Lord, take me back to that old landmark. Amen. Sometimes, guys, we just need that recalibration. We just need to stop everything and say, you know what? I've drifted. I'm not where I should be. It's time to return to the Lord. It's time to bow before Him again, amen, and let God refire my life again. Don't settle for a walk with the Lord that is far below what He wants and what He makes available for you. God's plans for your life are always good plans. He wants to give you a hope and even a better future. We need to know that Christ's victory is our victory. We just need to enforce it. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Hallelujah. When we are trusting God, it means that we are taking Him at His word. Hebrews 3:14, for if we are faithful to the end. Somebody say faithful to the end. Trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. When we what? Firmly as when we first believed. Lord, take me back to that place. Amen. I'm talking about in relationship with Him. You can't go back in history. Amen. But it means take me back to that place where I desire only You. My heart burned for You. I was in love with You. Amen. I was burning for You. Nothing else mattered except that I lived and pleased my Lord. Amen. I didn't care if people rejected me, called me names. Jesus said, rejoice if they do that. Great is your reward in heaven. And the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. You get over the opinions of men. Come on, you become strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. He's the overcomer. And we overcome by His power, by His ability that works in us. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. I felt just a shift right now in the atmosphere. Thank You for Your grace, for Your presence, Holy Spirit. Listen, if we fail to progress in our walk with the Lord, then we are in danger of falling back and even wrecking our lives. It's true. If we continue to walk in the Spirit every day, we'll never be disqualified for His service or fall short of God's best for our lives. So what we want to do is we want to aim to be everything that God has enabled us to be. Because we are overcomers. We're called to overcome the world. Did you know we are to overcome? Amen. Amen. And we can because the overcomer is with us. Amen. Hallelujah. I ask everyone to bow your heads this morning. I know that God has been using me this morning. I'm just a clay vessel. And God has been speaking to you. And God is stirring your heart. He's calling you to respond to His voice today. Don't harden your heart. God gives you an opportunity today to make your peace with Him. If you've drifted in your heart, today is the day to return to the Lord. And the first step is to apologize to the Lord for that. Lord Jesus, I apologize. Lord, I'm sorry for how I've drifted away from You and from the steadfastness I walked in, lived in, abided in. Lord, I don't want my heart to grow cold. I want my heart to burn for You. Lord Jesus, I ask You to forgive me and cleanse me. Would you pray in your own heart to the Lord right now? Would you ask Him to forgive you and cleanse you? Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Lord. Lord, I ask You to wash me in Your blood. Lord, I ask You to topple every idol in my heart, everything that would take Your place in my heart. I ask You to demolish it, every stronghold in my mind that sets itself up against You. Topple it, Lord. I ask You to break every chain that Satan has put in my life. Lord, I ask You to demolish those strongholds. Crush Satan. Crush him under my feet. Crush him in my life, Lord. Drive him out of my life, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to be clean. I want to be holy. I want to be pure. And Lord, I choose this day to forgive those who have trespassed against me. I choose to let them go. Would You forgive today so that You might be forgiven and your relationship with the Lord can be restored? Just let them go. Let those people go that have hurt you. They don't know what they're doing. If they knew, they wouldn't do it. Jesus hung from the cross and said, Father, for them, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you and I were once there. We did things because we didn't really know how awful sin was. But now we know. Because the Holy Spirit has come and the light of Christ has shone in our hearts to give us an understanding that we may know Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ, the Lord, the only way to eternal life and the only way to the Father. You need to ask Jesus to forgive you. And if you're not born again today, you need to ask Him to save you and to make you His child. God wants you and I to be free from all defilement, from all demonic oppression. And so we need to make up our minds that we're not going to have anything to do with the devil anymore. We're done with sin. I'm ready for Jesus now. I choose Jesus. I choose life. You pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit this morning. Can you just let it go? We're going to just take a moment of personal prayer. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just under your breath, quietly. God's calling you. It's no accident that you are here today to listen to this message. It's up to you. You need to choose this day who you'll serve. You need to give God the whole offering. Quit dabbling with Christianity. Checking in at the door, it's time to give your life over to the one who gave His life for you. Jesus died for you that you could live and you could have an abundant life and a life of service for Him. He saved you and He saved you with a holy calling. And it's up to you to make your election and your calling sure. So choose. Would you open your heart to Him right now? And say, Jesus, I invite You to come into my life. Come into my heart, Lord. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Be Lord over my life, Lord, now. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you, Lord, that I'm a new creation because of your life in me. Now, Lord, help me to live my life for you. The rest of my days, to run this race with perseverance as I fix my eyes upon you, the author and the finisher of my faith, the one who is waiting at the finish line, the one who is calling me heavenward to live for you now. We are heavenly people in the Lord. Our citizenship, our first citizenship is in heaven. So let's live and let's walk as citizens of heaven, representing the kingdom of our Father in this world by relying upon the power of His Spirit, whom He's given to those who obey Him. Hallelujah. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive the power of your Holy Spirit in my life. Set my heart on fire for you. Burn in me every day and lead me in the way I should go. In Jesus' name. Ooh. Got to do the ooh part too. Amen.